following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. As a current student athlete, I find myself wondering how someone like me can all of a sudden get paid for playing a college sport. If you have similar questions, I will be breaking down the ins and outs of the new college name, image, and likeness rules to keep you up to speed on everything happening in this new world of college sports. Welcome in, everyone. You are listening to DJ Parsh, and this is episode 5 of Transfer Season. Last week, I talked a little bit about what major schools are benefiting the most so far from name, image, and likeness deals, and which schools are getting the top recruits, and just how name, image, and likeness has changed and will continue to change the college sports landscape. This episode, I'm going to be talking a little bit more about how coaches and programs can use name, image, and likeness to get recruits, and how they've done so, and how they will continue to do so for the coming years. And then I will talk a little bit as well about how international student athletes have kind of gotten the raw deal out of the whole name, image, and likeness rule change in college sports. So, over the weekend, I spent, like many college sports fans, I'm guessing, a ridiculous amount of hours watching college basketball, probably an unhealthy amount, but I don't care. I loved it. It was awesome. So many good games. It was just amazing to watch. My bracket is completely ruined, but I don't care. The games have been just amazing, and it has been super fun to watch. Now, with that being said, I want to get into which coaches are using the NIL to get top recruits and how they are doing so. So, some coaches don't want to get into using NIL for recruiting because they don't fully understand, or they just don't know the rules, and they don't want to get into legal trouble. However, other coaches are fully aware of the possible consequences, but they realize it can be used as a huge recruiting tool, and they are just going with that. So before NIL, the main selling points for coaches when recruiting a top player were the basic stadium facilities, gyms, practice and rehab facilities. So they would show off their fancy, state-of-the-art stadiums or gyms or whatever it was to try to sell players to come into their school. They would also talk to them about TV and or media exposure. So bigger brand schools obviously get the most exposure because more the average viewer wants to see a Alabama or a USC rather than, let's say, in Oregon State. And ultimately, they would sell the players on career and player development as well. So they would give examples on past players from their specific programs and how they have succeeded and improved their skill sets while playing at their schools. Now, with coaches being able to talk about deals that other players on their teams have gotten by using name, image, and likeness, it adds a whole completely different level to the recruiting process on top of everything I just mentioned. According to an article from Sports Illustrated, one rule that coaches need to follow and that the NCAA has made it clear is that coaches are prohibited from brokering deals for any current or potential student athlete. So players or businesses themselves are the only ones who can create deals. Coaches are not allowed to intervene in any way. They can only talk about any lucrative deals other players on the team have gotten or potentially will get. So they can use that as another recruiting tool to try to get more players to come to their school and play for them. Now, some coaches are making the most of name, image, and likeness. However, there are others who are a bit more skeptical of what's really going on and how some programs are using it in a legal and legitimate manner. According to an article from ABC News, Northwestern coach Pat Fitzgerald offered his own blunt assessment on the current state of recruiting and name, image, and likeness. He said, quote, "Right now, there's a lot of head coaches getting on days, singing a bunch of songs that they have no idea what they're singing. They're all full of it. That's all I'm going to say. Nobody knows what they're doing. They're all faking it. I'll be the first to admit it. If we focus on education, this thing will all kind of play itself out. Big picture." So, I partly agree with Northwestern coach Pat Fitzgerald. This shows once again how unorganized and how lenient the name, image, and likeness rules are, and why the NCAA needs to step in and put strict guidelines in place so this doesn't continue to happen. Otherwise, college sports and college recruiting would just become a bidding war for the top high school athletes, and that's what pro sports are for, as much as I hate to admit it. That shouldn't be what college sports are about. Leave that to the pros, not college. These kids are my age, you know, they're 18, 19, 20 years old, and that should be left for professional sports. However, part of me also wants to disagree with Northwestern coach Pat Fitzgerald, just because, yes, that is all true, but it doesn't mean that he needs to just not partake in any NIL activities and use it as a recruiting tool, because so many coaches are doing so right now because there are so little rules. He, if he wants his program to stay afloat, needs to join these other coaches in using NIL deals to get better recruits to help their team. Otherwise, Northwestern is just going to fall behind and get left behind in the dust. And one of the latest examples of this is just a day or two ago, actually. University of Tennessee Volunteers landed a huge recruitment from five-star quarterback Nico Iamalavia, who, according to TheAthletic.com, signed an $8 million deal with an unknown business just about a week ago. Now, it's no surprise that he signed this deal and only a few days later committed to the University of Tennessee. And it shouldn't be any coincidence that Tennessee hasn't had a five-star quarterback recruit since the year 2000. And this is just another example of how the NIL is continuing to change college sports, and how college coaches and athletic directors are using NIL to benefit their teams and their programs. Because let's be honest, if NIL wasn't a thing, Nico Iamalavia most likely wouldn't have committed to Tennessee. Tennessee has been really irrelevant for the past few years, to say the least, in the college football landscape. And just out of nowhere, this five-star quarterback first signs an $8 million deal and then commits to the school. And he's a junior in high school. He still has another year left. He's 17 years old. And that's one of the other big things that I'm trying to get my point across, is that NIL is being used as a recruiting incentive for high school athletes when it was put in place to benefit current college athletes. Anyways, that is beside the point. College coaches need to realize that NIL can be used as a huge recruiting tool, just because there are no rules set by the NCAA right now, and it's free game really for anyone. However, moving on to my next point I would like to talk about, how the NIL is impacting international student athletes. So when the NCAA passed the name, image, and likeness rule in July of 2021, international students got the raw part of that deal. Just so everyone fully understands, because it is quite confusing and I had to do some extensive research. This is all according to Ford Murray Law, who represent immigrants wanting to connect with higher education institutions. So international students who plan to attend a school in the United States must obtain a non-immigrant student visa in order to enroll at that university of their choosing. The most common of these visas is the F1 student visa, which states that students can only accept payments that fall under these conditions: on-campus employment, curricular practical training, for example, a work-study job, an internship, or a cooperative education required by an educational program. Now, the tricky part of this is that name, image, and likeness forms of payment exist outside of this visa and therefore are viewed as unauthorized work, meaning that international student athletes, in order to enroll at the school, first must get the visa, and once they get that visa, they cannot partake in any NIL activities because of the work restrictions I just stated. Now, this makes absolutely no sense because, as I've said before, most schools either require or recommend students to report their NIL deals to the schools, thus making NIL money and revenue that the students earn a legit and authorized profit that is authorized by the schools. So if the schools want these students to tell them what kind of deals that they are getting from name, image, and likeness, how come an international student can't do the same thing? It makes absolutely zero sense. And according to Sports Illustrated, in the NCAA, one in every 10 student athletes is an international student. And international students make up 13% of all Division I athletes in the NCAA. So when you think about that, it's ridiculous the NCAA hasn't looked at this and realized, oh, maybe we should change some of these rules so international students can also benefit from name, image, and likeness opportunities. And I'm sure the NCAA would want the best athletes staying for as long as they're allowed to at these schools because they want the highest competition and the best competition. But if I'm an international student, I look at these rules that put me at a disadvantage and I'd say, you know what, I'd rather go play semi-pro in a different league, even if it has to be in a completely different country, where I can get paid to play and in a year or two declare for the draft for whatever sport it is I want to play, whether it be basketball, football, you know, whatever it is. And in that sense, gain the professional experience I want while being able to earn revenue, whereas in the NCAA, I wouldn't be allowed to do that. And this is really hard for me to understand because just on my current team that I play for, I have, just off the top of my head, 3 international students, one of which already had a hard time getting their visa just to enroll and be able to play for the school. Why is it so hard for international students? Why can't they be allowed to engage in NIL opportunities? It makes no sense for me. So this just shows, yet again, the NCAA lacking in terms of rule changes when it comes to name, image, and likeness, and why there continues to be more and more issues when it comes to legislations and guidelines regarding NIL. And that concludes today's show on transfer season. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope to get you back for next week's episode, where I will be breaking down which sports are getting the most NIL deals, men's and women's, and talking about some of the disparity among all of the college sports in the NCAA.